Like Jesus Podcast, episode 57.
This is Like Jesus Podcast, and I'm your host, Olu Sobanjo. I am a recovering people pleaser that wants to be like Jesus. And this is the show where I tell you about my journey to purposeful living and share the amazing stories of other great people with you. The aim is that as you listen, you will also begin your journey towards engaging God's purpose for you and start to impact many around you with the uniqueness that God has put in you. So, let's get started. Welcome everybody to Like Jesus Podcast. This is Olu Sobanjo. I'm very glad to have you join me again today. On the show today, I have someone that is so inspirational that you will be very glad to be listening to this episode today. His name is Folorunsho Aliyu. He is the managing director of one of Nigeria's foremost ICT firms and also doubles as the group project director for the parent company. He has been involved in some of the earliest transformational and innovative solutions in the Nigerian ICT landscape. Folorunsho is a graduate of the Computer Science and Engineering Departments of Obafemi Awolowo University, Ile-Ife. That's the same university that I attended, by the way. And he also is an alumnus of the prestigious Lagos Business School of the Pan-Atlantic University, where he obtained a Master's of Business Administration degree. He is passionate about human capital development and volunteers frequently for mentoring and development activities of the Nigerian youth. He is also a co-author of a book titled Vacancy, You Are Urgently Needed. Now, this person is very dear to me. He is a brother to me. And we call him FLS. That's just an acronym from his name, Folorunsho. And so on this episode today, you're going to be hearing me calling him FLS. And so just to let you know, I want to welcome you, FLS, to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Pastor Lou. And welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Yes. So, you know, just before the recording, we were just chatting, and you mentioned something that I quickly wrote down. I want to start with that. And just before we start talking about who you are and all that, you mentioned something. You said, followers of today are the leaders of tomorrow that we need to prepare today. Do you want to start with that? Tell us a little bit more about what you mean about that.
Okay, thank you. I would like to say that we tend to, as a people, we tend to do what I call the either-or story, or we tend to speak more towards an either-or. And what do I mean? Today, I will speak within my environment a little bit, and we're focused so much on the people we call the leaders of today. But some 20 years ago, the people that are in position of leadership today were followers, and no one paid attention to them. And after a while, they emerged as leaders. More than three quarters of them were not prepared for these positions. So we get what we get. I'm more passionate about grooming and deliberate about grooming tomorrow's leaders. The leaders we have today, we already have them. We are one way or the other forced to live with them or get them out. However, we have a golden opportunity of working with the followers we have today, ensuring that the values they have and the values they can create are the right ones, so that we create the tomorrow that we're all looking forward to. So it doesn't become a nightmare as we have in many areas or many places today. So I'm very passionate about the followers, because at some point or the other, the follower tends to become the leader.
That's true. That's very true. I told you guys it's going to be very inspirational. And, you know, what you're talking about is so, so tied into what I've been, you know, doing with this podcast. And I find out that a lot of us as believers, we tend to say a lot of things that we don't do. Because personally, for myself too, I've been in that point. I've been in this position where talking more than doing. And with this podcast, and many of the people that are listening to this would resonate well with the topic of just realizing that I, you know, maybe I've been waiting for approval. I've been waiting for somebody to say, yes, you can do it before I actually step on to actually be doing it. Despite the fact that I have Christ living on the inside of me, you know, and I really, you know, really, really enjoy the aspect of, you know, bringing it to the point of, you know, we need to pay attention to many of these people. And these are the people that I, you know, that I'm reaching out to, actually, you know, that are not, you know, maybe they've been neglected, like your word, you know, they've been neglected, and maybe they felt that they needed somebody to come and push them up before they can, you know, go up. But then we're now reaching out to them, you know. So I like to, you know, understand from where, you know, just tell us a little bit about you. Give us a little bit about your background. How did you get to this point where you felt you needed to reach out to people in this category, you know, followers of today? Why did you think they were important?
Okay. Thank you. I think for everyone in life, the seed of greatness, you know, was sown into you before you arrived Earth. And it is in that seed of greatness that things, that your life grows. The problem is, after time, most of us do not look at the seed for it to grow. We look at the trees in other people's yards and measure ourselves that way. Now, why did I say that? I was born and brought up in what you might call a slum in Lagos. And after time, nobody expects you to be anything. In fact, the truth is you were expected not to amount to anything. If you amounted to anything in life, it would shock people. But if you went the way of others, it was normal. It was expected. But someone believed in me, a lady by the name Miss Abby Bucknell. Bless her soul. She's going to be with the Lord right now. She believed in me. My father died when I was quite young, when I was just 12, I think, and first boy of five children. And the environment was just all stacked up against you. The odds were really stacked against you. I could have gone ahead to be one of many things. In my class, where people eventually died as armed robbers. In my class, girls 13, 14, 15 were parents. You know, so it was bad, but someone believed in me and said, you know what, how do you do in school? And I said, oh, she saw my result and said, you know what, I would get you a scholarship. And that changed everything for me, because now my attention was drawn from being bad to ensuring that I kept the scholarship. And my mom went through a lot, and also gave me something else to look forward to ensure that I helped this lady who was going through so much alone, taking care of kids. I mean, these children on her own. And it was out of that, that the need to look at the young children or the young ones growing came, because someone paid attention to me. Someone felt I didn't need to go the way of others. So today, for me, my mantra or my thought is always, perhaps you would change one man. Perhaps you would be able to touch the life of one young man or one young lady who would go on to change the world. So for me, I believe that if I'd be left within the environment on my own without someone believing I could be great, for all you know, I could be a kingpin today in the other world. You know, I probably would have had a child at 14, 15, or maybe 16. I probably would have gotten to so many horrible things. So I believe in the young people, and I don't believe that anyone is bad. I believe there's a seed of greatness in every man. It takes the right atmosphere, it takes the right person to pull it out and plant it properly. That seed would grow.
Wow, this is really big. I've known you, but I don't know this story, and it's really good to learn, you know, this about you, and to actually see that it's actually possible for anyone. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, let's, you know, there's so many angles that I can take this to, because now you just, you know, brought us to a place where, you know, we've been talking about habits on my podcast. You know, for this month, I'm looking at habits, and you brought it now to a place where I'm going to, you know, just divert a little bit from habits and just go in the area of the environment, you know, where, you know, you talked about, you know, I was looking through your book and I noticed that there is something that you and your co-author coined out a word, you know, and called it blemititis, like a disease that people have when they have, you know, they're maybe in an environment where things are not working for them the way it should be, or compared to other people. And you coined that word and that disease as something that afflicts a lot of people. Now, I like to, you know, and coming from a place where you actually yourself could have been in that situation, maybe, I don't know, you know, how do you merge that, you know, those two together, the environment that you're in, somebody is listening right now, and they're saying, yeah, you know, it's because of the fact that you found somebody that helped you up. That's why you're able to talk like this today. How do you help, you know, somebody else that maybe might not have had the same opportunity of getting a scholarship and whatnot? How do you merge that together?
Okay, for me, I'll say the first thing is this. The greatest cheerleader we all have is our maker. The first thing he did, I think sometimes as a people, we get it twisted. We were not created here and then God gave us an assignment. God had first an assignment, and he was looking for a solution. And he said, if I make this, fashion out this being, it would be well suited to solve this particular problem for the earth. So God went into his workshop. If we read the Psalms, I believe it's 138 or so, 139. God went into the workshop and started drawing us out. He started saying, hey, you would be this big, you would be this small. The eyes would be this bulgy or be this sunken. It would be born in a place called Nigeria. No, not just Nigeria. It would be born in the Southwest. It would be born into a family where the father may not be home all the time. It would go through this set of pain, so they would understand the pains that people go through when eventually he has become. So nothing, I mean, you were specifically brought up to solve a particular problem in this world. So just like God told the devil then, have you seen my servant Job? The same way God is cheering us on today, every single being he has created, and he keeps telling anyone who cares to listen, that have you seen my son? This. Have you seen my daughter? This. Wait till he becomes. He was placed in the midst of the slum so that he would understand how it is to solve the problem of the slums globally. So when he goes out, he's not speaking from head knowledge. He's speaking from what he has gone through. Remember, Christ came into the world to go through what all of us would eventually go through. So we can know that we have a high priest who went through the same set of infirmities we went through. So we can tell him that, God, how come you did not sin? And he will tell us how we went through it. Same way, God is saying, I left you there so that you can become. The problem is, like I said, we do not look at the becoming. We look at those who have become and leave our own becoming. And the problem we're supposed to solve for the entire earth remains. And guess what? We complain like every other person. So God is busy rooting for us, even in our refusing to become. And he's saying, you know what? Have you seen my daughter, my son, John? Have you seen my daughter, Eva? Have you seen my son, Tolu? Have you seen my daughter? Wait, she will be. So God is, we don't need any man, as it were, to urge us on. Because the God of heavens and the earth has put so much resources in us. And he's saying, just become and see. what the world will be, because you will be the solution to the entire problem. Imagine how important you are as a person when the God of the heavens and the earth decided to let go of his powers in you. When he's gone ahead to delegate the rulership, when he's gone ahead to delegate the solutioning of this earth in your hands, you are more than important. So even if no one roots for you, know that the Father in heaven is daily rooting for you, because he's poured in the entire requirement in you. He just wants you to become. I remember, I think it's in 1 Peter or so, when he says, "For as according to his power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue." We were called. We have been called. We will not be called. We have already been called. Because before we were born, he called us. And he gave us everything already that pertains unto life. And he called us to glory and virtue. So what that means is this, that whatever it is you are going through right now, your calling is going to end in glory and virtue. But it is dependent on your knowledge of him that has called you. So we need to keep seeking him, so that, I'm not talking just Christian seeking, I'm saying seeking out what he wants us to do. It's not going to be a magical thing. It's not going to be an abracadabra like the old world wants it to be. As long as we seek him, we will keep becoming, because he's rooting for us.
Amen. Wow, thank you. Now, there is one part of the scripture that I read this morning was in Isaiah chapter 14. And it was talking about the fact that, you know, it's easy for you to complain. You know, the way I saw it is you can be going through something right now, and you're just, you know, all you can think of is just the complaints and complaints and complaints. And, you know, but really, when you actually embrace the God of the universe, you know, and as we're discussing, you know, this morning in my family devotion, you know, we're talking about how if you just bring God into the situation, you bring in supernatural into natural, and you're actually able to see supernatural happening on your behalf, you know. And but the sad thing about life and even about Christians, you know, is that we know so much how to talk the talk, but we're not so good at doing it. We actually forget about, you know, what we know as soon as trouble comes, and before you know it, you know, that song comes to mind all the time. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, yeah. And so I'd like you to, you know, to take us to the aspect, you know. I want us to join this now to the title of your book. Okay, you know, I remember when I first saw this book, the word vacancy, I think it was when you were still trying to get the cover or something made, that I was curious. I was like, okay, is this like a job, you know, prepare, you know, like something that you need to read in order to get a good job, you know, or a book that would help you to master interview questions, you know, knowing what, you know, you the kind of work that you do. I was thinking that it was going to go in that line. You are urgently needed and come like that, you know, but it's way, way more than that, you know. And you know, as I've read the book, I realized that it's actually a very good book that, you know, everyone need to find a way to get it in their hands, which is very, thankfully it's on Amazon. Anybody anywhere can get it. But I'd like you to, you know, just tell us a little bit more about what you meant, you know, by vacancy. You're urgently needed. I know this is the same thing you've been talking about on this episode, but do you want to just zero in down on the book?
Okay. Thank you. It's a long one, so I'll try to keep it as short as I possibly can. You know, in my position, I get lots of requests for positions and for people want to get jobs and all that. Kindly help my brother, help my sister, help my son, but my daughter. And I could only take in so much, so many people at once. So I have the side job of always trying to help people get placement. But you can only do that for so long. So I did a project that was quite large, and I was excited to find that I had vacancy for 109 engineers to fill. So I was excited. So finally, I would be able to do something, you know, great in a single, in one fell swoop. So I thought. So I went around trying to recruit young engineers, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And I eventually lost the opportunity because I couldn't fill the vacancy as quickly as I thought I would be able to. The second thing was I got a few friends together and who were entrepreneurs, and it was all sorts of complaints about how they were looking for good hands and they couldn't get people on board. And there I had people who were looking for jobs, and there were people who were looking for people to fill the vacancy. And I started noticing that there was a major problem of unemployability. So the problem became bigger. I started speaking more with entrepreneurs, those who had their businesses and businessmen and businesswomen, even organizations. And I realized that they were laying off people. And these same organizations were also trying to recruit new people. So it wasn't just people were looking for jobs, but they were laying off people as well. Then came the Nigerian government issue of, we needed to solve problems in this area and that area. And the average Nigerian would complain. But there were opportunities that people were coming from all over the world, seize upon these opportunities and begin to make money. Most of our telecoms companies in Nigeria today are being run by people from different parts of the world. So it became an issue for me when I started seeing that all over the nation, there was vacancy. But there weren't the right set of people to fill the vacancy. We had people, but we didn't have the right human resource. Now, this does not mean that the people were not nice or good or whatever, but didn't have what it took at the time to fill the vacancies available. And then we realized that this was even much bigger than people trying to earn a living. In the homes, we realized that husbands had vacancies in their minds, but the wives were not filling the vacancies, and you had a lot of fights in the home. You find two people who are so much in love with each other and are on the brink of divorce because there was so much vacancy in their home that none was not, the other was not able to fill. So you have a wife is seeking attention, she wants just the love, vacancy in her heart. But a husband is not just feeling it. You see that? He doesn't even know about it or doesn't have the right mindset to fill the vacancy. So we realized that there was vacancy all around us and people just were not filling it, even though they wanted a job, even though they wanted to be the one in charge, but they were not filling it. So we realized that people were seeking vacancies of seats in the offices. But there were also vacancies in the land that people needed to step into and fill. In Nigeria today, you have lots of people who are living under poverty, I mean, below the poverty line. We need people to step in and get people out of this. There are new jobs that have not been created yet, new ideas that have not been brought forth yet that someone needs to create, and then you fill the vacancy. That way, you complain less and do more. But if the mindset is not there to seek out vacancies and actively try to fill those vacancies, you will keep complaining while others will see those opportunities. They would come in, and the same people complaining would all contribute to making them rich. So the book is all about seeking, actively seeking out vacancies all around you and positioning yourself in terms of your mindset and what you can actually do to fill the vacancy. But if you're not even looking for vacancy in the first place actively, or if you're not seeking these vacancies out,
You pass by them every day. You trudge past them every day. You have them even in your homes. You have them all around you, and yet you sit down complaining. That's what the book was written about.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. That's, you know, anywhere in the world you are right now that you're listening to this, I think I personally want to say that this book is something that you must find a way to get into your hands. I got mine on Kindle, you know, on Amazon, and I know if you're in Nigeria, you can just, you know, I'll show you how you can get it. I'll put it in the link below in Nigeria. But for those of you outside of Nigeria that you have access to Amazon and all that, I'm also going to put the link to the book on the correspondent post for this on my website. So you must get a hold of this book, and you must just have a way of reading it, because it's a very good book. And I know, FLS, that you're such a busy person, very busy person. And I really appreciate, you know, all the work that you've been doing. Definitely, you know, so it looks like we've done a lot today, but we're just scratching the surface. And so I know that, you know, we'll definitely, you know, I would really be glad if we can, you know, have another session at a later date. It doesn't have to be now. I know how busy you are, but I really appreciate the time that it took, you know, you to make this possible. And not only that, FLS was a part of a program that my husband and I would, you know, are actually currently working on in Kuje, in a part of Nigeria, you know, called the Young Influencers Bootcamp. And that was phenomenal last week when he came to speak with the youth, you know, to just encourage them to be the best and find opportunities and solve, so, you know, problems. And that was, you know, just awesome, you know. And at some point, I'm going to also release the audio that we recorded from that event. All right. So, but in conclusion, I'd like to ask you, I don't know if there's something right now that you're working on, or if there is something that you, you know, possibly you want to tell us a little bit more about where to get the book. I'm going to put it on, you know, the Amazon link. But if there is a way, you know, like group coaching, different things that you do that you'd like people to know about, I'd like you to, you know, talk about that. And then from there, we can wrap it up and close in prayer.
Oh, thank you very much. This is a good opportunity. I appreciate it. I believe a lot in leadership. You know, and right now I'm writing a book on leadership. So I call it The Leadership Conundrum. And that's, I'm looking at it specifically from a Nigerian perspective, from the Nigerian perspective of how we are where we are. But more importantly, what can we do to start getting out of where we are? You know, positioning, not just for tomorrow, but starting from today. What future do you want to see, and how can we actively work towards in that future tomorrow? So I'm writing that book. I'm believing God it will be out soon. The second thing is I do a lot of strategy sessions, because I see a lot of organizations with SMEs, they struggle a lot within the environment, certainly the Nigerian environment, which is what I know anyway. I know a lot about Nigerian business environment, and I try to work with them to ensure that we grow businesses to where it should really be. Because most people actually have the business cut short because of basic information they don't have, you know, and because of mindset sometimes. But there's a lot of religion that people bring into business, and because of that, it destroyed the business even without realizing that based on what they have done or not done right, that has destroyed the business. So I work with a lot of SMEs to help manage their mindset, you know, in managing their businesses properly. Well, I also believe a lot in working with young people, because they are the followers of today. Whether or not we like it, leadership will fall upon them, whether we plan for it or not. So I believe a lot in values. I believe a lot in the creative abilities of people. If you have a creative ability, you also have destructive ability, because destruction is a form of creation. So it is looking for ways to work with young people
to ensure that we dampen the destructive ability and enhance the creative ability of our young people to create values based on values. So those are the things that I love to do apart from working alone. I love farming and building, but those are the things I do in my spare time.
Very good, very good. Thank you very much for telling us a lot
more thing okay, about, about the book. In Nigeria, you can get the book in Lantana Venture. You can get it from Abuja as well. You can get it from different bookshops in Abuja, Peculiar Bookstore in Busetu, UK Bookstore, Barbie Bookstore, different bookstores in Abuja and Lagos, and online, as you said, on Amazon.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'd like you to, like I said, definitely we're going to, I'm sure my listeners are thinking, you know, I should, you know, schedule another appointment with you. And definitely we're going to do that. But just to wrap this up today, I really want to say thank you so much. And I'd like you to please pray for the listeners and for this, just to wrap this up. Thank you.
Shall we pray?
Mm-hmm.
Divine Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be alive and to be well. That is the greatest testimony that you are still reaching for us. We ask, O Lord God, that your reaching in heaven gets into our ears and into our hearts. To bolster us, O Lord God, to know that that is all we need to become. And in becoming, we get to know you better, and the world in turn gets to know us. And we will find our fame, our fortune, and our peace in our becoming that or who you called us to become. Help us to hear you daily, even in the midst of the noise all around us, even in the midst of the noise of hunger, the noise of fear, the noise of trepidation, the noise of the world telling us we are not good enough, we are not beautiful enough, we are not strong enough, we are useless. All through the noise, Father, help us to dampen those noise and let your weeping, let your encouragement hit our hearts strong and right. And let our ears be open to hear you encouraging us and giving us to be and to become. Anyone going through pains right now, Father, I ask for your mercy. Anyone going through a tough time right now, I ask, O Lord God, that your presence be made strong and manifest. And Lord, for everyone that has been battered at this time, I say your soothing balm will come through for them. And above all, let us become that your name be glorified and the peace, fame, and fortune be ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, I want to say thank you so much for being here, and God bless you.
Thank you, Father. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Like Jesus Podcast. Don't forget to head over to olusobanjo.com for more useful resources. While you're there, please leave me a message. I really want to hear from you. It helps to know what topics you would love to hear more about. And if you found this on iTunes or any other podcasting platforms, please take 2 minutes to review the podcast. It would help other people like you to find the show. All right, it's your turn to go impact someone with what you've got. Bye for now.